Hello. So, what I'm going to do in this recording is offer a dream interpretation. Someone has sent me a dream very kindly. This person shall remain anonymous. We've agreed beforehand that I can offer this interpretation and post it online to give folks a flavor of a sample and a kind of sense of how I go about the art. And the practice of dream interpretation. So, I'm going to read the dream as it's been sent to me, and then start to riff a bit and offer some reflection. So, here's the dream. And before the dream, one piece of information that's worth noting is that this is a recurring dream. That'll become important. So, this is a recurring dream. Here's the dream. I'm late for a flight. I have so much luggage with me, and all my clothes are falling out. I have a suitcase, a backpack, a purse, and all the contents are dropping out. I also have a storage locker full of items to bring on the plane. I'm trying to find the storage locker, which is close to the gate. I'm aware I'll miss my plane, so I feel panicked. I can't figure out the lock. Finally, I collect the rest of my belongings and head to the gate, and then realize I don't have my passport. Parentheses, typically in this kind of dream, I'm aware I'm flying to Europe. And that's the end of the dream. So I'll read it one more time. I'm late for a flight. I have so much luggage with me, and all my clothes are falling out. I have a suitcase, a backpack, a purse, and the contents are dropping out. I also have a storage locker full of items to bring on the plane, and I'm trying to find the storage locker, which is close to the gate. I'm aware I'll miss my plane, so I feel panicked. I can't figure out the lock. Finally, I collect the rest of my belongings and head to the gate, only then to realize I don't have my passport. Parentheses, typically in the stream, I'm aware that I'm flying to Europe, and hence would need a passport. And at this point, the dream ends. So there's the dream, and now I'm going to offer some thoughts, some possible means of interpretation, and also focus on a potential practice, something that can be done. Which is particularly important, I think, in this case because of the recurring nature of the dream. That's a point I'm going to return to in a second. But before offering the interpretation, one of the things I want to say is this is not my dream. One of the things that I think is crucial in interpretation is that I am very clear that this is not my dream, and it is not, therefore, my role to claim some kind of ultimate authority and claim. This is the meaning of the dream, and now I am the dream expert, or I am the dream interpreter, and I will sort of dispense my dreamly knowledge and expertise to the masses down below on the ground. I'm caricaturing there, but you can hear the arrogance in that position. Instead, I will take a posture of, if this were my dream, if this were my dream, this is how I would go about it. So, there is some interpretation going on. I'm offering possible avenues of interpretation. But I believe very strongly that the dreamer, him or herself, the dreamer themselves, to them belong the ultimate decision about meanings or layers of meaning and any implications and actions and consequences that might flow from that meaning for their dream. And therefore, I am in a kind of outside position looking in. I've been entrusted. With this dream, I offer my best artful kinds of insights, and I always strongly advise any interpretation I'm offering dream-wise to another person, go with what resonates and ignore what doesn't. It's not my job to claim ultimate authority. I believe each soul is the sovereign of their own space, and that includes, most particularly, dream space. So, I want the interpretation to be an empowering kind of interpretation, not a overtly or covertly disempowering kind of interpretation where I claim again some kind of hierarchical authoritative position. And then the person kind of goes against their own knowing. Maybe I say something that doesn't resonate for them, and then they say, oh, but he's the expert, so he must know better than me. No, it's the dream belongs to the dreamer. Anybody who's been asked for some guidance or assistance or their set of ears and eyes and heart on this dream does so in an assisting or supportive role, and ultimate decisions as to interpretation go to the dreamer. So that's, I think, kind of the most important piece. And after that, that gives a lot of room for me to just kind of riff, and then I'm at peace knowing that that person is free to take what resonates and ignore what doesn't and go with what opens up some doors for them and run with that, rather than me having to have the final ultimate solution. Dreams exist on multiple levels, and therefore interpretation can be on multiple levels, and those interpretations can be complementary. I don't think any deeply moving dream ever has a final solution or answer. I think it's a lived symbol that has the possibility to be transformative. So, and that is especially the case in my mind for recurring dreams. So remember that I mentioned that for this dream, it is a recurring dream, and that sets up an important context for this dream. So let me say a little, I want to say a little bit first on my take on recurring dreams before we get into this dream specifically. Recurring dreams, to me, are very kind of Groundhog Day, right? You remember Bill Murray? He's caught in the loop, and it's the same day over and over and over again. And yeah, he, for a while, makes different sets of choices day to day, but he's only doing it within the parameters of that it's the same day, the same place, Punxsutawney Phil, Groundhog Day, that whole business. So he's trapped in a cycling energy. It's looped, and it's caught in this loop. It's caught in the whirl, and it's just spinning around and around, and it never comes to any kind of completion. Recurring dreams are of the similar kind of looping quality. They are caught in the loop, and something is unfinished about them. And in this dream especially, I think we'll see very clearly what is unfinished about this dream. And until the dream is completed, and we're going to talk about what it means to complete a dream, but until the dream is completed, it tends to keep coming back around. It's trying to resolve itself. The energy being expressed in this dream is trying to resolve itself. It's trying to reach some kind of completion. It's trying to reach some kind of finish, and it doesn't ever get there, and it gets caught back in the loop and just plays itself out over and over again, like Bill Murray Groundhog Day. Now, if you remember Groundhog Day, spoiler alert, if you remember Groundhog Day, how does he break out of the loop? How does he break out of the chain? He makes a different set of choices. He doesn't just any longer make, well, this day I want to do this for food, and this day I want to go this place. He makes a fundamentally different choice. Until then, his life has been largely characterized by egotism, narcissism, self-centeredness, using other people in a more exploitative or manipulative manner. Other people really exist to fulfill his needs. He takes a different stance because he's falling in love in that case. But the key is that he takes a different stance and comes from a place of empathy. He starts to give. He starts to find the value of a life dedicated to something greater than his own narcissistic, egotistical gratification. And it is in that that he breaks this cycle and wakes up the morning after and goes on ahead with his life. In a similar way, recurring dreams can be finished. There are things we can learn about them and, like, sort of decode or break the lock and find the key and unlock the dream, and then the dream stops. Just like he was out of the loop of Groundhog Day once he had changed his energy, when she's changed his disposition and his way of being. So in this interpretation, I'm going to focus strongly on the notion of how to break the looping, recurring quality of this dream. So recurring dreams equal caught in a loop, some energy unfinished. So this is a recurring dream. That's not necessarily the case for non-recurring dreams, but here we're dealing with a recurring dream, which is a very specific type of dream, a very important kind of a dream, and a very specific to this kind of a dream, a recurring dream, is the notion of how to finish it, how to break out of the logjam, how to break the cycle to move forward. So please keep that in mind as we now move through this dream specifically. Moods of dreams. The mood of this dream, if you read back, we read through the words, there's words like panicked, starts off with being late for a flight, which automatically brings a mood of anxiety, right? Then there's all this stuff about too much luggage and clothes are falling out, and there's suitcases and there's backpacks and things, contents are falling out, and the storage locker and the thing can't open the lock. So you can feel that the mood, the energy of the dream is highly anxious. Gonna miss my flight, gonna be late, I got too much stuff, I'm racing around, I gotta go get somewhere, I gotta get somewhere else. I'm getting panicked because I'm gonna miss my flight. Oh my God. Ugh. So you can feel the emotional mood or the tenor of the dream right off the bat is a strong degree of anxiety and panic. So if we combine that piece of information, the emotional mood and tenor of the dream, with our earlier piece of information, which is the recurring nature of the dream and what recurring nature dream means about caught in a cycle, the first clue we have as to how to break this recurring pattern is what's at the root of the anxiety and the fear, right? The anxiety and the fear is where the energy in the dream, it's what's driving the dream. And that anxiety and fear is somehow unfinished. It is somehow caught in a loop. It is somehow driven to a place that is a kind of a dead end maybe, or a cyclical place. It's caught in a loop. And so the fear and the anxiety that underlie the tenor of this dream has to be met and has to in some way be completed or allayed or brought to rest. So that's one piece of information that if it were my dream, I would look to right away. Second thing that strikes me is the nature of it taking place in an airport. Transit zones in dreams are often highly symbolic as they are in, you know, the real world. Or I guess I should be more technically accurate and say the waking world. The dream world is real. It's just different than the waking world. Places like airports, bus terminals, subway stations, these kinds of places are places that you go to go somewhere else, right? Nobody wants to live in the airport. Nobody wants to live at the bus terminal or the subway station. They are transit points. They are places to go to get vehicles to go elsewhere. Typically in dreams, of course, most people you'd probably think that symbolizes a journey, a flight, movement, right? We can see that energy. And yet, what is very interesting in this dream is the recurring pattern of being caught in the transit zone. Notice that this individual, the dreamer, never gets to their flight. We'll get, you know, the missed passport, the luggage. There's a whole series of things going on as to why. But notice that the dream loop is an individual racing around an airport with an overabundance of baggage, which is weighing and slowing them down. And then they're missing a key ingredient to be able to access the flight to go to their destination. Namely, they don't have their passport, which is a requirement to obviously get on the flight. If you ever saw the Matrix trilogy of movies, again, the spoiler alert coming up, the third and final movie in the trilogy, Revolutions, you may recall, if you've ever seen the movie, that the hero, Neo, wakes up at the beginning of the movie. His bodily self is unconscious. There's been this big explosion and stuff at the end of the second movie, and he hovers in this kind of coma-like status. He's asleep, and his sort of digitized self is caught in this looping subway station. So his digital self, we could think of it like his dream self, right? We see this image of him lying asleep, and then we see his projected, dreamlike, digital, whatever you want to call it, astral projection. And he's caught in this subway station, and he doesn't have access for a whole series of reasons that you can watch the movie to figure out why, but basically he can't get on the train. And he is stuck in this limbo, purgatorial kind of zone. He's stuck in He's stuck in a subway station, but he can't get on the subway and he can't get out. So he's left in this no man's land limbo zone that is where time has slowed down. There's nothing much to do. It's a kind of a weird kind of torture in a way. There's this strange kind of suffering that takes place. And similarly, in this dream, the dreamer is caught in the airport but is never able to access the flight. So the dreamer of this dream is caught in a kind of a similar limbo zone, in this transitional zone that only exists as a place to go somewhere else, not as a place that's anyone's destination or terminus, but is only a throughway to somewhere else. So the anxiety that we've heard, that is the deep emotional undercurrent of this dream, the recurring nature, the looped nature of this dream, and the fact that the individual is stuck in a place that they ought not to be stuck. They are stuck in a place nobody wants to be stuck. Nobody wants to get stuck in an airport. Nobody ever wants to get their flights delayed or canceled, or there's a terrible snowstorm and you get stuck and it's a horrible, gigantic mess. It's super stressful. There's a very precise kind of suffering from that waiting, and it builds up a huge degree of anxiety, but you can't necessarily do anything about it. Maybe you have a sense of kind of what I'm talking about. We can start to feel what's going on in this dream. Now we add to that this very interesting layer of information in the dream of the excessive and almost ludicrous amount of baggage involved, right? Luggage, right? Or baggage, which is here, figurative speak for, is it personal life baggage? Is it things that a person is carrying that they need to let go of? Since I'm on a movie riff, let's do one more movie. If you have seen the Wes Anderson movie, The Darjeeling Brothers, sorry, it's called The Darjeeling Limited. It's about three brothers who take this famous train, through India, the Darjeeling Express, and they're constantly, get spoiler alert, they're constantly throughout the film carrying too much baggage. Literally, and then obviously that literal physical luggage is working as an ongoing metaphor throughout the movie of their, each of them has great degrees of emotional suffering and baggage and physical and mental and even spiritual ailments that they're carrying on what seems like a kind of trip. It becomes, I would say, somewhat of a pilgrimage over the course of the movie, and it kind of climaxes in this famous scene at the end, spoiler alert, where they are gonna miss the train. And they're running to catch it, and they've got all this luggage, and they start throwing it away. And they, as they do, first they have to do it just to catch the train because they're going to miss the train. But as they do, you start to see the joy come on their faces. They've been dour, grim figures throughout most of the film, caught in a lot of their suffering. And at this moment, they start to become ecstatic because they're releasing all of this useless crap that they've been carrying this whole movie. And they make the train, away they go, they have each other, their relationships to each other has been radically changed by this adventure that they've been on, and they are free. It is a kind of almost cleansing ritual that is depicted as the finale of the movie. And this, I think, is the key twist in this dream. We've talked about it as a recurring dream, and that it's caught in a loop, and something needs to be done to break the loop. Something needs to be done to break the cycle. We've heard about the emotional tenor, I think, of the dream, namely the anxiety, the rushed quality, the sense that there's never enough time. And we've seen the anxiety, I think, manifest very specifically in the baggage. The baggage, if it were my dream, I would look at it as the baggage symbolizes the consequences of a life lived carrying that degree of anxiety that is expressed in this dream. And the person is in a transitional zone and they are stuck in a limbo because they are unable to let go of this baggage, which is preventing them from making their flight so that they can fly away, so they can fly somewhere else. The precise imagery of the excessive, the extravagant slash ludicrous nature of the baggage, how many different kinds of bags and where they're all located and stuff spilling out and they're more and more and more, this kind of acquisitive kind of appetite that is there that I feel. In the language of, if you're familiar with the language of the Enneagram, and this isn't a whole riff to go through the entire Enneagram by any stretch, but one of the things in the Enneagram is this, which is a kind of psycho-spiritual personality profiling, I guess we'd say, to really give it a short version. The Enneagram has a thing called the instincts, and there's three of them, and we don't really need to go into all of them, but one of the instincts is one called self-preservation. Self-preservations, or self-preses in the lingo, in that school of thought, these are the kind of people, you may be one, or you know, maybe you're married to one, or sibling, or friend, or whatever. You know, they're the person that goes for a day trip and packs enough food for 6 days, or they go on a trip and they pack clothes for three times the length of the stay, pretty much, of what they need. There's a constant kind of sense of, is there enough? And they're highly focused in a good way. There's good and bads with any of these kinds of things. Like the positive side is there's a clear articulation of my own desires, my own wants, my own needs. Usually those are as physical comfort needs, emotional needs, food, security, very basic kind of primal human needs. And that's the good side. But of course, there's a potential shadow that you could probably already be thinking of here in stark relief, I would say, expressed in this dream. Namely, that there can be such an over-concern, an over-almost obsession, I might even say, about making sure I have enough stuff, enough things to take care of myself, to take care of my creature comforts, to make sure I feel safe, to make sure I feel secure, to make sure I feel fed, clothed, ready for any weather pattern, ready for any seasonal changes in the weather, you know, this kind of thing. What's amazing, and what this dream, why one of the reasons I love this dream so much, is so incredible, such a perfect illustration of this principle, is overdoing what is the gifting can become the shadow, right? This old saying about the blessing can be the curse, or the hero's greatest strength becomes the hero's greatest weakness or liability. Their gift is their curse, kind of thing. And here in this dream, I would see this principle in like as pure terms as maybe we're ever going to see it. The individual, remember, in the dream, the dreamer is trying to catch a flight, after all, and is flying outside that person's homeland. For the dreamer, that was going to Europe. But it could have been going anywhere outside one's national borders, let's say. Which absolutely requires a passport. So the instinct to preserve oneself, which is at the root of what's going on here, amazingly ends up at the end of the dream doing the precise opposite of actually preserving the self. Self-preservation is all about acquisition of the resources necessary to, in this case, have a successful journey. And what ends up happening is the person ends up with a almost obscene, a farcical amount of excess stuff, but not the one thing they actually need to get on the flight. They could do with probably 10 less bags, God only knows how much less clothing is in all those bags, or stuff, or books, or whatever they're traveling with. All they really need is themselves, a little bit of stuff, and their passport and a wallet, I guess. That's really about bare minimum to actually make it to where you want to go, to have some clothes, to have some money if you need to buy something or you forgot something or you need to pick something up there. But the thing that the person cannot go without is the passport. No getting on the flight without the passport. It is the one thing that they do not have. They've brought in more than enough, way more than enough, to the point that it's causing them almost to miss the flight. It's become such a burden that they become so over-concerned about the things that at an excessive rate do not matter. How many more bags and stuff and luggage is really necessary to make this trip? The anxiety behind that, the anxiety, the fear of whatever it is, insecurity, has driven the person to such a degree in the dream that they actually forget to bring the one thing that they can't go without. That is kind of a pristine example and illustration that the overdoing of the gifting can become the curse, can become the giant blind spot, can become the undermining and the sabotaging of the very thing that is supposed to be occurring there, which in this case is supposed to be self-preservation. In this case, the self-preservation is precisely the thing that does not occur. The energy is focused in the wrong direction. It is focused in the belief that safety and a sense of security will come by a bunch of acquisition of material possessions, by a bunch of stuff. And actually, what the person, it sounds like to me, really needs to be liberated is their passport. The passport, of course, is a beautiful dream symbol here, metaphor, image, for the thing that grants us access to fly, to cross boundaries, to go on journeys, to go on adventures, to enter different worlds, to enter different spaces, to free ourselves, and in particular, precisely in the terms of this dream, to be liberated from the transitional zone of the airport. Remember, it is a recurring dream stuck in an airport. Right? If Dante were rewriting the Divine Comedy, maybe some level or circle of purgatory or hell for the 21st century would be being stuck in an airport. That sounds horrific, right? It'd be the worst. This kind of zone and no zone, right? This throughway to be stuck there. To be stuck in a place that is literally the place that everyone is moving through to go somewhere else. It is the precise opposite of the very purpose, if we could even call it that, or maybe the better word is function, of a place like an airport. And literally the key, or the passport, is in this case literally a passport. The very thing that has been forgotten. Why has it been forgotten? So much time and attention placed to an absurd degree on all of these other things that seem to represent safety and security. The baggage that becomes baggage. Not the luggage that is light and travel lean and well and gets us to where we want to go and gives us some clothes and some, maps or whatever we need for where we're headed. But the baggage that becomes, in the negative sense, baggage. If this were my dream, these are the things that I would look towards. These are the things that I would see. So, to review, we have a recurring dream. Recurring dreams typically loop. In this case, the looping is occurring in a transitional zone that ought to be about flight and ought to be about leaving one place and going somewhere else. The underlying mood that, as I hear it, is a high degree of anxiety and panic. That anxiety anxiousness is driving a sense of insecurity represented by the huge problematic level of luggage or baggage. All of which means that the sort of in the dream, they're focused in the wrong place and they end up forgetting the one thing they really need, which is the passport. which is why the dream recurs and why they are still trapped in the airport, because they don't have the key, the passport that they need to be liberated from the airport, to break the recurring cycle of the dream, and to fly out of there. So the baggage needs to be left behind. So when we have a recurring dream, I recommend to people a practice in the waking world to complete the dream. So we can do things in the waking, in our waking lives, to complete a dream that we keep experiencing. Let me give you, this is, sometimes we need to do that waking world thing in a very imaginative kind of way, and sometimes we can do it in a very literal, physical kind of way. If we need to do it more imaginatively, that's often, say, in the case where a person has a recurring dream where there is, I don't know, violence, or it's kind of nightmarish, where there's some scene of an accident or something. So, for example, I had a dream, I had a recurring dream that I had for a number of years, when I was in my kind of mid early 20s, early mid 20s, I guess. I would be in a swimming pool in someone's backyard, and I'm just by myself swimming around in the pool, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a grenade or a bomb or something gets lobbed into the pool. And it was one of those dreams, and it was a recurring dream. You've maybe had that experience where you're trying to run, and it feels like your feet are in like wet cement or sand or something. And I couldn't get, it was like the water wasn't just water. It had become like gelatin or something, or it had become like almost solid, and it was almost like frozen. And I couldn't get out. I couldn't get out of the pool. And then the dream, the bomb or the grenade or whatever was like, of course, just about to explode. And then I would wake up in a, cold sweat, or, freaking out in my bed or whatever. So I realized I needed to do some practice to finish the dream, but I couldn't obviously do something where I'm gonna literally get in a pool and somebody's gonna lob a real grenade or even a not live weapon or bomb or fake bomb or something. So I didn't do anything like that. I actually created a very imaginative scenario, kind of in my room, with like sort of toys and the whole thing. And what I found, the impulse in my experience when I sat with it in my waking life, is that I realized when I fell back into the dream, what I hadn't been noticing but was just on the edge of my consciousness in the dream was that there were other people there. And I had been following the instinct to try to run away. But actually, when I sat with it and the impulse in the moment, in my waking kind of daydreamy kind of state, I realized what I wanted to do is jump on the grenade to protect the other people. And so I envisioned and imagined myself doing that. And that even included seeing myself get sort of blown up, as it were, but kind of cartoonish or dreamlike, magically, some elves or magic beings or whatever kind of came back and sewed me back up and put me back together. Like somehow it blew up, and in a way I sort of blew up, but in a way I didn't. And once I did that, and I actually put like a, I had like a sort of blue carpet that represented the pool, and I had this thing that stood in for the, it was like a plush toy or something, that ball, whatever, that stood in for the bomb grenade. And I literally, in my imagination, as well as kind of physically acting it out in a play sort of dream theater sense, I actually jumped on the thing, felt it blow up, had this kind of energetic response, then the dream stopped. Never had it since for the rest of my life. Now, that would be a case where the practice of completing a recurring or looping dream requires a kind of dream theater playfulness sense, because we can't literally physically enact it. And in this case, that could be done. There's versions of that how that could be done. Now, this is also a case, I would say, in which it could be perhaps a little more challenging, also potentially a little more learning, or slash a little more fun, if I were recommending a practice to this individual who sent me the dream. I would recommend the following situation, because it's a safe scenario, because it's a scenario that could be literally played with in real life. I would recommend the next time that person is on a flight, they would lay out their clothes and their things for packing like they normally would, and then I would immediately have them take half of them out of the, like if they laid it out all on the bed before packing, say, take half of the clothes and half of the stuff and put it back away and only journey with those half. Like if the person had a week-long trip coming up, they were flying somewhere for a week, I would tell them to pack only 3 or 4 days worth of clothes. And if they don't know what 3 or 4 days worth of clothes means, because their version of 3 or 4 days worth of clothes would look to another person like 10 days worth of clothes, have someone else pack for them who doesn't have this thing about carrying too many bags and self-preservation and kind of overdoes it. I would have them purposely pack less clothes than they could wear for the length of the trip that they're going to be going on, which would then require when they get there that they will need to involve themselves somehow or other with laundry, ideally having to go to a laundromat and having someone else launder their clothing, if that's a possibility where they're headed. Because one of the dangers of this kind of self-preservation, the energy in the dream of like, I gotta carry all the bags, it's all on me, I'm all alone, I'm in the airport, there's no one else, I gotta bring all the stuff, if I don't, who will take care of me? It would be helpful to receive a message in real life to watch other people care for us, to receive the goodwill and care of others. It reminds me of a story I heard from a woman who was a speaker that was very powerful. This story has stuck with me for a long time. Person traveled, she traveled a lot for her work, and she said after a while she gave up with the whole nonsense of trying to learn about the money currencies because she was traveling to so many different countries for her work. So she just gave up after a while. It's too much work to try to imagine, figure out what the currency conversion of whatever country she was in versus her home currency, and then try to do the math in real time when she was buying stuff. She just said, the hell with it. She was too complicated. So what she said she would do is she would be somewhere buying something, whatever food, a souvenir, whatever. And she would just take a handful of whatever the local currency was that she had. She put her hand out and she would watch. And this was all over the world. And she said this is what always happened. She would watch the person count the money in her hand, take a certain amount out of her hand. Either that was it, and then they closed their hands and said, the rest is yours. Or maybe they took some amount and then gave them a little bit of change back, gave her a little bit of change back, and then closed her hand and said, thank you. Nobody ever took from her. No one ever stole from her. Anybody, she's in a very vulnerable position. They could have been sneaky, they could have been crafty, they could have been immoral, unethical. She said it never happened. She would watch, legitimately, can't fake it. She would watch people in their head doing the math, counting it up, ding, 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 take the coins or the bills or whatever that was appropriate, give her back change, and away she went, everywhere around the world. And I would like to see for a person with this kind of a dream, or if you have a similar kind of energy going on in your life, I would like to see, I believe the recurring nature of this dream could be broken by doing something in the waking world, which is literally to travel differently on the next flight. And as a particular way, I'm suggesting this idea of less clothes, since there was an excess of baggage. So to travel with less than enough clothing purposefully, it'll create some, ooh, it'll be a little bit of a stretch, I would imagine, in that case for such a person. And then ideally, they would require the aid or assistance of someone on the scene who would clean their clothes or launder their clothes for them, so that they could find that there is not, that there are others and there is benevolence and there is goodness in the world, and that deep safety and security and sufficiency comes from actually interdependency with each other, healthy interconnection, not dependency in a negative sense, but interdependency or a healthy vulnerability. You travel to a place and you will need to receive resources and requisition resources from the local scene and from locals. In this case, in a very simple way, by the laundering of clothing. Something like that for this person, I would bet, is the physical enactment in the waking world that would break the spell, as it were, of this dream. that would break the recurring cyclical nature of this dream. Remember, the person is stuck in a transitional zone, stuck in an airport, a place you do not want to be stuck, as we've said. And the key is to break out of that. And how does that happen? By traveling lightly, and through traveling lightly, remembering what is ultimately of necessary and non-negotiable importance in terms of the flight. Namely, what are the things that I absolutely cannot do without, aka the passport, aka clothes on my back, maybe a couple of days clothes, worth of clothes, change of clothes in a bag, my wallet, money, whatever that is, and my person. That's it. That's it. Take a trip like that and come back and watch that sufficiency and resource and all the things that you need can be found, can be located with the help and assistance of other people who are good-natured and good-willed. And then there is a radical freedom from all of this anxiety, all of the baggage, literally in the dream, metaphorically, as well as potentially literally in the waking world. And then I bet the cycle of that dream, the recurring nature of that dream would be broken. If this were my dream, that's how I would see it. And if I were working with someone who had this dream, that's what I would recommend. And they were open to receiving a practice in the waking world to try to break the cyclical nature of this dream. That's what I would recommend. So I hope that gives everybody a bit of a flavor of dream interpretation. Special thanks, my thanks and my gratitude to the good being, the anonymous being who has sent in their dream and allowed me to offer interpretation, allow all of us who are listening to explore the terrain of that dream in ways that resonate for each of us. My thanks to that individual. And I think that about covers it. This is a really beautiful example of a way in which the dream world we can play with while in the waking world. And things we do in the waking world can change our dreams, and of course what occurs in our dreams can change our choices in the waking world, and that there can be a conversation, there can be a deep symmetry, there can be a deep dialogue between these aspects of ourselves. I wish everyone happy dreaming and experiences in the dream world, and all the best. Peace.